You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're saying everyone in the wall. I'm trying to clarify who you think.
I'm not saying everyone in the wall.
You did say that. I'm saying you literally said
it. Yeah, I did say that, but you didn't let me finish my fucking sentence. I'm saying that everyone in the wall and all the players.
Your sentence never ends.
This blame game is turning into fucking musical chairs. We've got Red Shell, who was watching the Brentford game in Massachusetts. Obviously, we'll dissect a bit of that later on. We've got Henrik Johansson, who was a Danish man who was due to come on potentially last night. He couldn't make it, unfortunately. And also, I had violent food poisoning, so I couldn't make it either, which is why we're doing it now. And we have Martin, who's in California. 4:30 a.m. kickoffs, he says, are a little tough, but he can always watch them later as long as he doesn't look at social media. And he said the good news is that there's not much chance of a random telling him the score, which is very true out there, I imagine. So there you go, for us all over the world.
Gosh, our numbers sound like they're dwindling. But thanks very much to those guys writing in. Or did you just hand
they're
pick those two?
They're not dwindling. Sorry, they're not dwindling. It's the fact that I'm prepared quite late with the Forest All Over the World stuff. Okay?
But I don't say that. It means put people off wanting to write in.
No. Put people off if you say the numbers are dwindling. That's what, yeah.
Anyway, well, give Chris a message on Twitter if you're ever trying to tune in with Forest or follow Forest for any of these interesting parts of the world. It's just cool for everyone else to just listen in and hear the breadths or lengths that people are tuning in from. It's pretty cool. And welcome back to this episode, everyone. We are chiming in post-Brentford, a couple of days after the Brentford defeat and just before the Bristol FA Cup clash. And Chris, how are you? That was a... You know what? I think we'll just kick this off with a bit of... Let's put the blame game tune coming on. I've got some options for you.
You want to go straight... Hang on. You want to go straight to negativity? Is that kind of where we want to go? Or do we want to start? I'd like to start with a little bit of positivity before we jump into that. Can I do that?
Better be good.
Yeah. Okay. So, the positives we're going to take out of that game. Chris Wood. I think that's his 7th Premier League goal. He was an absolute handful on the night. He took the ball down well. He was splitting the defenders really well. He timed his run for the goal to perfection, which Callum Hudson-Odoi did really well to get the cross in for. I think two of them were good attacking threats. Danilo's goal, fantastic. It's good to see him score an absolute cracker like that. Our fans were brilliant, although I heard the Brentford stewards didn't treat them too well. And then, what else? Yeah, just in general, I thought we were good. Omobamadeli and Murillo, two 21-year-old centre-backs, semi-holding their own. Obviously, there was some mistakes in there, but did reasonably well. There's lots of positives to take out of the game. We're missing an awful lot of players from AFCON and injury. And considering that, I think we put up a good fight away from home. There you go.
Go on, spill the beans. What have you heard about the stewards? I didn't know about that, and maybe people listening want to know specifics. What have you heard?
Well, no, apparently there was a lot of away fans that were treated pretty poorly from the stewards. A lot of the stewards were incredibly aggressive and confrontational, and this isn't the first time it's happened. Last season at Brentford, it happened as well. On top of that, there were Luton and Villa fans and Chelsea fans writing in saying they felt the same treatment when they went away to Brentford, which is a little bit surprising, but not surprising considering it happened last year. And it's not just Twitter talk, because a lot of people have said the same thing now. And yeah, just ridiculous.
Yeah, obviously, there's a high and mighty feeling about the club, Brentford itself, and its fan base, and probably its staff then in that case. I know what you mean. There's a slightly... You know what? I was in a pub right by the ground because I was trying to angle for a ticket or for about an hour and a half before the game. Didn't find any luck. But I met a guy after the game had kicked off at the bar, at the pub right on the corner. I think it was the Tavern Express. That was it. And this guy who sat there goes, oh, I got kicked out before I got in. He said, oh, kicked out for being aggressive to a steward. I went, well, what did you do? He went, F all. And I, in my head, thought, I don't know, mate. You're not getting kicked out for doing nothing. But now that you say it, maybe it was an overreaction from the stewards. And I said, oh, can I pinch your ticket? Go in. And it wasn't happening. I had a little bit of a chat with him. He said he goes to every home and every away game. He was like a hardcore fan, but then wouldn't even give me his name or let me become mates with him. Because I said, look, if you're ever not going to an away game, can I buy your ticket off you? And he just went, no, mate. I was like, all right. So the game, yeah, mate, you've tried to highlight some positives, but come on. I said in the last episode of this podcast, we needed to go to Brentford. We needed to assume we could win and win. And like you said, I thought we had that approach. We had that spirit, getting that amazing wonder goal early on. I kind of felt like we were doing it. But again, I thought that I was like becoming some football know-it-all. He put the ball down, and in this pub in front of everyone, I said, he will score this. And then when he did, I was like really proud of myself. I was like, I fucking told you all. I told you he would. And, yeah, but, and I heard you on Forest Focus.
But what are you
going,
proud of yourself for?
Because I don't know. I thought I called it through well, being an intelligent football fan. It wasn't like...
Did you say intelligent? Did you just call yourself an intelligent football fan?
What?
You said being an intelligent football fan. Is that what you're calling yourself now?
No, I assumed I'd become one.
Ah!
Rather than just going on emotion or feeling. I genuinely was like, well, he's going to stick it there, clearly. And when he did... Like, you've interrupted too many times for this to be worth sharing. Point is, yeah, it was as soon as he scored that, I lost all hope. Even when we got our goal back in the game, I was like, it's not enough. It's the 10 minutes added on, couldn't do anything with it. And I don't know, other than the cross from Hudson-Odoi, we just want to... At what point do we go... We stop saying, oh, he's still waiting for him to kick into gear. Like... Maybe that's why we got him so cheap. Has he really lost it?
No. I thought Hudson-Odoi was a good threat. I think going forward, considering we're missing our three best attacking players, Elanga, Morgan Gibbs-White and Taiwo, who would all be starting ahead of Wood and Hudson-Odoi, by the way, I thought, considering we were missing those attacking players and two of the players who are generally on the bench, Hudson-Odoi and Wood, linked up, I think two goals away at Brentford is pretty good going. The problems we're seeing, and you know it, and I know it, is at the back. That's the problem. So set pieces and at the back. If you want to bring in the blame game now, we can go for it if that's what you want.
Your contender this week, you've got Ryan Yates. Ryan Yates is on the list because he turned round and he claimed to the keeper and then didn't do anything about it and in fact dived out the way. Callum Hudson-Odoi is on the list. Everybody knows why. Matt Turner is on the list. Everybody knows why. Didn't take control of the situation. Also, the likes of Mangala. Four contenders.
What's Ryan Yates on the? Give me the content. What's Ryan Yates on this for? Just moving out of the way on the wall.
Well, it finished with him moving out of the way on the wall, but he started off by turning around and alerting everyone to the fact there's a gap next to him, and then just turned around and got out of the way even more. He didn't turn to Callum Hudson-Odoi and go, "Mate, stand next to me. Look."
I blame the entire wall and any player that was near that ball that Ivan Toney moved over.
Who was on the right hand side of the wall?
I don't know. I know Wood and Yates were next to each other, and I know that Hudson-Odoi was the other side to the left. I don't know who was on the right hand side of the wall.
Well, there must have been two other players. Go four man wall. How on earth can you blame?
Do you mean Tony's right hand side, or do you mean
Ryan Yates was on Tony's right hand side?
Sorry, Ryan Yates was on his left. Which is Tony's right.
And was on the Turner's
left.
Yeah,
Tony's right and his left. And his own left.
Yes, so who was on Yates's right?
So yeah, who was on Yates's left?
No, who was on Yates's right, you idiot?
Anyone who saw Tony move the ball twice and the foam to move the ball on the second occasion should have spotted that and gone over and gone, hold on, what are you doing? And stood in front of the ball, created a reaction, made the referee pull it back, do whatever you can. Obviously, it's easy to say no one would have seen it, but someone should have seen it. That's a problem for me. Is this the blame game just for the free kick, or is this
well,
the blame game for the
whole game?
I'm
coming at it from the angle that free kick was the moment it begins to unravel for Forest. It's Matt Turner, Brian Yates, Mangala gives away the free kick unnecessarily. Callum Hudson-Odoi does less than what I would have done in that situation. Started with that free kick. That was the beginning of the unravel.
But there was still a lot of game to play.
Number one,
Mangala for giving away a needless free kick and getting a yellow card. Number two, our set piece defending is absolutely awful. I can't tell if it was Murillo or if it was Montiel having to pick up Ben Mee or what it was with that goal. But it really annoys me that they scored from a corner, a really basic near post header. That winds me up massively. So set piece coach, I'm blaming him for not sorting out our set pieces because it's really starting to wind me up. Number three, Matt Turner. And I'm sorry, but with that free kick, you have to know there's potential for it to go bottom right, his bottom left hand corner, and he was rooted to the spot and didn't dive, didn't react, should have done his homework on Tony, particularly with that corner. We all knew it was going there. He should have known too.
Great. So Turner's the crowning king. I love that. It's probably the one person that everyone already knew we were going to blame. And we've dragged them through.
Getting the audience on your side again. Sorry to disappoint everyone.
I'm trying to host this show for you because you do such a bad job. I'm trying to include them and let them feel connected to what we're saying.
Listen, there's no need to be snippy and rude to me, okay? Last week we got on the show and you ruined the entire FA Cup game for me by telling me stuff ahead of time. And today I'm feeling sick because I got sick last night. I puked in a bucket, food poisoning from seafood, and I'm not feeling well. And you're going at me because we're doing a blame game and I didn't pick the people you wanted to pick. Well, how about this? Why don't you blame anyone but yourself for not being a good host? Because you seem to love yourself so much that you want to carry out with this tripe.
Okay, let's move on. Moving on to the next thing on the agenda.
FA Cup Friday.
FA Cup Friday. I love your claim that we can win this. I think that's bold.
We can.
Yeah. Hmm. I think we can win it. Well, do we dare assume we're going to beat Bristol City? I think we do, don't we? Surely. I know we did that against Blackpool and it went to shit, but we have to beat Bristol, don't we?
We don't have to. A Bristol away game is a difficult place to go to. It doesn't matter if they're a championship side and we're a lower-end Premier League side. At the end of the day, it's still going to be tough. However, we should beat Bristol. We have a better team. Even with all the players missing, we've better players.
I think we should be allowed to. I think we should be expecting to beat Bristol, mate. I think they need to...
Yes, that's what I said. Yeah. That's just saying what I just said. Yeah. We should beat them. Yeah.
But as fans, I'm saying we should. But I think we should confident. I think lessons can be learnt from Blackpool. No defensive mistakes. Like we have to be. If we're going to tighten up in the Premier League, we're going to have to tighten it up again. In the, I suppose it's FA Cup, isn't it? It's the excitement of it. But
you have any questions at all?
Yeah, it's just a bit dull, isn't it? We're going to Bristol. Hey, that.
No, listen. It's not dull. It's not dull.
It might be worth heading down there to watch the game.
We all know what happened.
That new Bristol fan group that's sort of gone on the rise massively in the southwest in the past couple of weeks. I think you mentioned them the other week on our podcast, and I hear them getting mentioned on the other ones quite a bit. And it sounds like an ever expanding group. We should head down and join them maybe for the Bristol game. That might be fun.
Yeah, yeah, well, apparently, I was talking to Jan, who set that up. Apparently, they were going to do another big meetup for the game, but loads of people have started to get tickets. So most of them would probably all be at the game itself. Didn't know anyone was there. He'd spent years out that way. And then all of a sudden, he posts something online and bang, it's 26 members straight away.
Everything
crazy.
You've always wanted was right there in front of you.
Are you just... What film is that from now? God. I just know you influenced and settled by some movie, some nostalgia.
I don't know, some Clint Eastwood or... Can we just talk about the Africa Cup of Nations as well? It's so infuriating how well Senegal are doing, right? Not to mention Ivory Coast. Didn't they come third, but for some reason are still going through?
Yeah, well, part of the reason they're still going through is because Chris Hughton was 2-0 up in injury time and drew 2-2. And now Ghana don't have a chance of getting through, really. Which would have helped knock Ivory Coast out.
But it's only some groups. Yeah. So isn't it only particular groups where three teams are going through rather than just two?
Yeah, I think it's 4 third places go through, yeah. So, yeah, it is frustrating. But can I be honest with you about this? We knew about the AFCON, right? So Forest, from the beginning of the season, knew we'd have more AFCON players than any other team. We knew Nigeria would do well. We knew Ivory Coast would do reasonably well. We knew Senegal would do well. We knew they'd get through the group stages, which they probably all are. We knew this would happen. So we have to have prepared for it. And then the problem is you pile on injuries on top of that to some of our elite players, such as Gibbs-White and Elanga. and you have a bit of a shitstorm, right? So,
well, no,
in
got
my
Murillo
mind's eye,
Omar Bamadeli have been brilliant, despite them being young and learning. Like,
that's kind of where I was going. Was in my mind's eye, it's giving other teams, other players, a chance to really come to. I mean, Murillo was already starting, but Omar Bamadeli, Aguilera, a lot of these players are getting a chance. Wood and Hudson-Odoi are starting a lot more games together. It's given a lot more. I don't know, it's given a lot more freedom to some of the fringe players in the squad. But despite you telling me we need to cut our squad and sell one of our most consistent midfielders, which is what you always go on about, by the way.
Not always. I brought it up last week how it would be sensible out of many options to probably sell Mangala if someone wants to give us money. We've got plenty of options in that midfield. Yes, he's been brilliant for us, but I mean, you get that. It's tedious for me to go around in circles on this point, Chris. You know it's... Who else are you going to sell?
We are trying to offload players.
Yeah, talking of such things, Joe Worrall to Sheffield United. How real is this? And why is it only a loan move? What on earth is the point in that?
I don't think Sheffield United have the money to pay what his market value is. I think 10 million is what we're looking at. And I think they don't have the money for it. So they're trying to loan him to the end of the season. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if that's definitely happening. It's obviously...
So it's within Forest's interest to do that just to get rid of some... maybe rotting attitudes or negative feelings.
Whoa, you're trying to piss me off.
No, I'm not.
You're trying to piss me off.
I'm not.
You are. You actually are. We don't know anything about Joe Worrall's attitudes, despite the rumour
My point is what's in it for Forrest is to get Worrall just playing somewhere else, is my question. Or is that not... like, what if we're loading him out because Sheffield United can't afford him, our priority at the minute shouldn't be to help... Sheffield United, our priority should be sorting our asses out, if not with playing squad and getting better on the field, then getting the odd player in the door that can help us do that.
Listen, I'm with you on this. I think that our priority in the window, if we were to buy anyone, which it looks so unlikely right now because we keep not buying anyone and trying to fleece players out, is a goalkeeper and a striker. However, in the centre-back position... we're light because of AFCON and injuries. And keeping Joe Worrall, in my opinion, would be a positive thing. But I think the idea is that if we loan Worrall to the end of the season, he gets some playing time elsewhere, gets his confidence back, and then whether we go down or stay up, he can rejoin the squad in the summer. Do you know what I mean? So, like, maybe that's the idea with it.
Just you tiptoeing around, oh, if we go down, we can keep Worrall. You should be thinking we're going to stay up, Chris, at this stage. You should be assuming we're going to stay up. It's not that bad.
I said if we go down or stay up. I didn't say we're going down at all. You're putting words in my mouth. I think the reality is that we are 4 points off Luton without a deduction and Luton have a game in hand. So we're in a relegation battle and I trust that if we don't get a deduction, we should stay up. And if we do get a deduction... we'll have a good go, but you have to think about the future. You know, look at the owners didn't think too much about the future when they signed loads of players, and it put us in a little bit of a mess.
Oh, you're having a moan about the owners signing a load of players?
No, I'm not having a moan about the owners. I'm saying you have to think ahead of time, and I think that there were needless signings. Even the owners
Christopher Hindsight
admit there was needless signings. It is
hindsight.
Yeah, but that's what they're paid to do. They're paid to have hindsight in the future. Don't start putting words in my mouth again. I've blamed the Premier. I think the Premier League situation is ridiculous, by the way. Absolutely ridiculous. Actually, on another note, I'll go off on a tangent here. On another note, Luton, Everton, Brentford, fucking Sheffield United, Burnley, Forest, Fulham, everyone in the 6-7 teams that's hanging out down there doesn't know what's going on. And actually, that will mess with other teams' heads. Luton don't really know what they're aiming for. Burnley don't really know what they're aiming for. So it actually could benefit us. But in general, it's ridiculous that the Premier League hasn't made a decision until the end of the season. But if you want to talk about Captain Hindsight, we paid recruitment and people in the club to have a bit of hindsight so we wouldn't get into any trouble. So yeah, there should have been hindsight from someone else, not necessarily a podcast host shouting back and forth to you. As for... relegation up and down, I don't know what's going to happen. I am confident because I've seen enough from this team that there's enough quality, and even the team that isn't here right now, that the second team that we have, we've got 8 starting players out at the moment, and the team I see, I have enough confidence in this team to stay up. Don't put words in my mouth. don't make assumptions based on what I'm saying. I've been playing football for 37 years and I've been watching it for 30. Give me a break.
What words have I put in your mouth?
Every time I say one thing, you say, oh, now you're saying we're going to get relegated. Every time I say another thing, you say, oh, now you're not back in the owners. It's not black and white.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. Where are we left in with AFCON? Basically, we're screwed because our players' teams are doing really well and we're going to have to wait. You're blaming that on the owners.
No, I'm not blaming that the owners. I'm not blaming the owners. We have injuries as well, Matt. We're at a stage where I'm very impressed with what I've seen. You got to recognize that the Blackpool replay actually did us some favors. It got those other players who aren't used to playing together necessarily, some of them who aren't used to starting games, stuck in and gave them an opportunity to be well-oiled for Saturday against Brentford, in which they played a reasonably good game. We just had some defensive errors. Overall, I actually... I'm positive. I don't think it's anyone's fault. I think we knew this could happen. I think we knew it might be 2 to 4 games, and it's turning out to be at least 2 or 3 games. So we don't know yet. I think we're going to beat Arsenal after Bristol, by the way. They hate the City Ground. They're mentally weak when they come there. I have no issues whatsoever. I'm actually quite positive, but I am being critical and honest with my feedback at the same time. But you can't seem to see that. You've had an agenda on me from day one. Your very knee-jerk reaction. One minute, you'll say, Wood's not good enough, and then he does well, and you say, he's the best. Next minute, you'll say, I believe Alanga can do it. The next minute, you'll say, oh, is there bad attitudes? And you're just so knee-jerk from week to week to week to week. All right?
Yeah.
I need you to get a bit more grounded.
The wheels have come off, because that's just not true. I've always been a Alanga fan. Always been the most biggest Alanga fan. And now... I've been saying Langer for ages. I've loved Wood even before everyone thought he was great. You're mixing
yeah, who
me
knows,
up.
Who knows what you've said and what you've done and what you.
I know what
like,
I said.
By the way, just I want to wrap up this Joe Worrall situation, right? Really quickly. We don't. I know you know you don't want to talk about this. And I know you think it's boring, but we don't actually know anything. We don't know about fallout with Cooper. We don't know about fallout with agents and owners. We don't know whether he's in the bomb squad, whether he's good enough, whether he's not good enough. All I know is. That guy captained us to the Premier League and then the season after kept us up in big games like against Arsenal at home and was brilliant. Excellent against Chelsea this season. Yes, he had some wobbles along the way. We don't actually know anything that's going on other than those facts. I'll give you a fact.
I'll give you a fact. No, let me just come back to that point.
No, I'll give you a fact before you know yours. I'll give you a fact. At the beginning of the season, in a video where he was doing golfing with Neco Williams, he was asked a question. What is your biggest motivation? He said, my biggest motivation, and it was honest and candid, he said, is just to play for as much and as long as possible for the club that I love, Nottingham Forest. That's all you need from me. I wish him well if he does go on loan. And that's it for me. You can, if you want to give me a fact, go ahead.
You asked me, you said to me just then, we don't know anything, or you listen to things. It's very, very true. Of course we don't. No one really knows anything. But it's football. We like to talk about it and take guesses and hypothesize about certain attributes, right? What we do know for sure, like you just said about that interview with Neco Williams, Worrall has often been quite proactive at getting on the mic, talking to the fans, talking to the media, a sense of a slice of authenticity that isn't normally part of what other players would do when they come. I mean, he's had courage when talking to. There has been a change in that. Of course, there's the family thing that happened, but we've got to park that for a second. Is it not conceivable that because Joe Worrall is now sort of radio silent with the fans, it's just such a change in behaviour and change in character. And I can't believe he hasn't sort of tried communicating something to the fan base. I just get the feeling that he's annoyed with something, even if that's something to do with himself or whatever. And I can't help but think that things haven't gone how he desperately wanted them to go. And he's...
Yeah.
And I empathise with that. That's really difficult to deal with in your life. But you're just so unwilling to be like, oh, he's...
No. I think the point you've actually just made, if I'm honest with you, is excellent. And the manner in which you've put it across is very good, if I'm honest with you. For me giving you the space to say that, I actually...
Oh, my God, thank you so much for giving me the space to say that. You're so generous.
Oh, God. I'm trying to... give you an authentic sort of compliment and see
all right,
if
all right,
you
carry
just
on,
come
carry
back
on.
With your... Yeah. I actually agree with that. I think that there has been a change and a shift with the media stuff, and I think maybe that's the kind of thing where after Luton, or even pre or post that, there was what Cooper does with players who aren't particularly having good games or getting scrutinised in the media. He pulls them out and protects them, and I think it's that protection thing, and I think it's just sort of carried over for 2 or 3 months of it, and now it's kind of difficult to go back, and there's probably other things behind the scenes we don't know either. But yeah, I agree. There's something definitely awry, but we won't know about it, obviously, for a long
time. It'll be one of those like headlines in the Notts Post in about... about a few months after he leaves, it'll be like Worrall breaks silence over all things Forest.
I don't think he'd do that to the club.
No, but it won't be him doing that. It'll be he'll say something that, and it will lead everyone in, and it'll be just a nothing report. Oh, he got ill once and fell out with
possibly. Possible. Well, anyway, listen, speaking of ill, I don't want to get ill again. So we're going to roll out with 2 features, all right? I want to go through the next 4 Forest games and see which ones you think we're going to win or lose in the Premier League, okay? We'll go with Bristol. We'll go with 5 games. Bristol, FA Cup, are we going to win that game? Are we going to the 5th round? Yes or no? Score.
Yeah, we're going to the 5th round, baby.
Are we winning? What's the score?
We go to Bristol and we win 2-0.
Brilliant. Okay. So we keep a clean sheet, Bristol, love it. Next, Forest v Arsenal. Tuesday. Do we beat them at home? Again.
Of course I want them to. I want to have a big famous home day. You know, we beat Man United. Let's say we beat Arsenal at home. I'm going to say Nuno gets the better of Mikel Arteta. And but it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight. It's going to be like 2-1 to Forest, maybe, like we did Man United.
The last 3 games we played against Arsenal at the City Ground, we've beat them. So it's going to be 4. Yes, we're going to beat them. And you're right, it's going to be 2-1. Okay? Next game, Bournemouth away, 4th of February, not long after. Do we win, lose,
yeah, we
or draw?
We bury them, finally.
What? Bournemouth?
Yeah, finally. We go and beat them, finally. It's time to shine.
Wow, it's time to shine. Love it. Score. Give me a score prediction quickly.
We need the anger of Brentford to drive us into beating Bournemouth. And the anger of Bournemouth at home, actually. They can't forget that. The Forest players mustn't forget Nuno's first game with that red card for Bolly, with his annoying, beautiful headers from Solanke that are just... Ugh. Score prediction, 1-0 Forest.
Lovely. Newcastle at home.
We'll lose it.
After beating them away, we'll lose it at home.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Next game, West Ham at home. 3 out of the next 4 Premier League games are at home.
Yeah, God. I can't call it, mate. It's too far away.
You have to call it.
10-0 to Forest.
Oh, shut up.
Well,
just come on.
Well, that's stupid
to
ask me about West Ham now. We've got games before then. Who knows what's going to go on?
Okay, well, I'm sorry that I'm calling the future. Friday's the future, and I call us to beat Bristol as well. I call us to beat Arsenal. I call us to draw with Bournemouth. I call us to draw with Newcastle, and I call us to beat West Ham at home, sort our set pieces out, bring our players back, rock on to the 5th round, maybe even the quarterfinals, and take us all the way to glory. And you can give us our lousy deduction if you want, because we're staying up and there's nothing you, the league, or any other team can do about it. Forest till I die. Land the music for the Review Corner.
Welcome to Review Corner.
One Review Corner this week is Culhane, Alex, Edwin. They've been telling me that your point of view with Mangala is absolutely correct, that we need to get rid of players, that you're bang on. Culhane says, leave Matt out of this. You can't blame him for your mediocrity. Alex says, from this point in time, he is the king. Long live the king. Edwin says, long live the true king. And they even did a poll to say, should Matt, the king, start his own podcast? And all of them voted yes.
Well, listen, I'm telling you, those guys are real-life listeners who are really... They might not even agree with everything I say or care about anything I say, but they definitely, definitely know what it's like to get through 2 minutes of social time with you. Good night.
And on that, we'll roll it out. We will have more Forest Love the World guests in our Forest Love the World series again soon. We'll be reaching out to plenty of people. Reach out to us and ask us to come on, and we'll bring you on for either a 5 or 10 minute spell in one of the shows, or for a show to guest for Matt, who is never available. Follow us at Forest Love Over on Instagram, or at Forest Love Over on Twitter. Alternatively, you can go, we're at NFFC all over on Twitter. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com. Thanks very much. We will see you after Bristol and probably pre-Arsenal, I imagine.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.